Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today, Tom Eggert is the guest on the show, and he is founder and president over at Wisconsin Microfinance. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm really looking forward to the discussion today.
All right, Tom. So today's topic, role of microfinance in economic development. I guess just to get us kicked off here, like what got you interested in microfinance originally?
So I was originally a professor at the University of Wisconsin and had a student from Haiti that went home for winter break. And this was 2010. He was on the last flight out of Port-au-Prince before the earthquake in 2010, which was probably one of the largest earthquakes in our hemisphere. 350,000 people were killed, millions and millions of dollars of damage. And so he was a student in my class again in spring semester. That was the first of the natural disasters that the Red Cross allowed us to donate directly to help people through our phones. And so this idea of helping was a big deal. Juergens was in class. The students raised $3,000 from parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles. Mm-hmm. And we were just looking to donate it to a group that was helping people sort of get back on their feet. The food, the water, the shelter, healthcare, medicines were being taken care of. But, you know, the people that lived, the buildings that they worked in no longer existed. Their jobs no longer existed. So how did we help them become something other than aides of the state? And so we couldn't find a group in from looking from our side. Juergens's parents were down there. They couldn't identify a group looking from the Haiti side. And so we talked with his former pastor, who had started an economic development nonprofit, explained the ideas of microfinance and asked him if he would be interested in piloting a program. And out of that, Wisconsin Microfinance began and has grown significantly over the last now almost 14 years this summer.
Wow, that's an amazing story. And it's 14 years, you know, most businesses don't go, you know, past 10. And so like to see what you're doing there, what do you attribute some of that success to?
Well, so when we started down this road, I had been teaching about the Grameen Bank and about Muhammad Yunus and sort of the brilliance of his model. And really, his model is simplified to say, make loans to women. They're going to be more responsible. Charge low interest rates. Make them short-term loans, so no more than 6 months. And always put them in groups of six, groups of eight, and tell them no one in that group is going to be able to take out another loan until everyone has paid back the first loan. That creates both peer support and peer pressure, and it takes, you know, the partners that we work with off the hook of enforcing the collection of loans. The you know, loans get paid back because the community wants to continue to take out loans, and it works amazingly.
Now, do you still teach, or
I did retire? Nope, I'm retired now.
Oh, wow. How's that treating you? Now you're a retired, you're an entrepreneur, you're not retired.
That is correct. Right. I am busier now that I'm retired than I was when I was working, but I'm betting you've heard that from many retirees before this.
Oh, no, that's a great story. And I love it that you found also the second, you know, another act. That's what my favorite thing is. When I think about how many acts we have in life, I mean, it's amazing. And then, you know, obviously the platform Mission Matters. That's what we're all about, is making sure that we're highlighting stories that we feel are out there making a difference. So it's interesting. So in this act, I mean, prior to this, were you kind of an entrepreneur before, or was this like one of your big entrepreneurial ventures? I'm just curious if you always had it in you, or if it was something that you're like, you know?
No, I fall into the category that I think I have. I was born an entrepreneur. And so, you know, I ended up teaching the first class on campus on sustainability back in 1994. At a time that no one else was doing it. And so had to, you know, sort of build the whole momentum around it. There was student interest, of course, but not institutional interest yet.
There we go.
And, you know, I mean, I happened to be in the right place at the right time for 25 years of,
wow,
you know, continuing to grow a program, grow an idea, grow, you know, the interest of the business community. Businesses became leaders in sustainability and, you know, being among students that have so much energy and so much optimism is, you know, is fantastic. And that's probably what I miss the most.
So let's go a little bit further into microfinance and how it works. You gave us the model, so thank you for that. But what do the individuals who are the communities that take out these loans, like what are the types of things that they use them for, maybe in like kind of the geographies?
Right. So we are active still in Haiti. We opened in the Philippines in 2014. We opened in the Dominican Republic, the other side of the island of Haiti, in 2021. And last year opened in Pakistan, in Islamabad. Mm. So we're sort of scattered across the world. We go because of the fear of corruption. We want to make sure, we want to maximize the opportunity that the money that we're providing actually gets to borrowers. And so we need connection.
Can you explain that? Can you explain that? I just want to, what do you mean?
So, right. So we raise the money in the U.S. We have a partner in each of the countries that we are working with. It's an agricultural co-op in Haiti. It's a credit union in the Philippines. It's a foundation in the DR, and it's another nonprofit in Pakistan. So the model is very different. It's very flexible as to who we work with. But in all of those cases, we have a connection to one of my board members. And so somebody can get on the phone or get on Zoom or get on WhatsApp and say, what's going on? We didn't get the report last month. You know, what's happening with these borrowers? They're not paying money back, whatever. And so we have a one-on-one contact that, you know, maximizes the chances that that money that we're sending over is used for what we're designing it to be used for, and that is loans for the very poor. And so those connections have been critical and also explain sort of the haphazard nature of which countries we're in and which countries we're not in.
Yeah.
We would like to be in more places. We don't go out searching for a partner in a country without there already being a relationship that we can draw on. So, and that was, you know, we learned that just through time that otherwise money just disappears. I mean, it is the developing world and corruption is a real problem. And, you know, if you're going to try and manage that, you have to kind of be strategic about that.
Oh, yeah. So getting back to what the money is used for, tell me a little about that.
So our loans are $100, $200 in that range for the first round loan. They double then each successive round. So these are, you know, small businesses that people are starting. Marianne does a small little grocery store in their house, buying some little animals and growing them into big animals, buying material and sewing it into something that would be useful in the community. So cottage industry kinds of things. We don't want any of the borrowers to be producing something that isn't sold in the community. So we're not, you know, trying to build some sort of export business. That economic development at the community level really needs to be, you know, meeting the needs of the community and then helping that community grow as a whole. And so our approach to that is to use individuals to create businesses that then grow and hire more people, but are providing a good or a service that's useful in the community.
How do you know that the loans are like that they're actually making a difference?
Great question. So, you know, like all, and there are a lot of microfinance institutions, both in this country and in the world, we're all really good at measuring percent repayment. We can tell you how
much. Well, you're an academic too, so I had a feeling that the way you set this thing up was going to be.
There's more to the answer, right? So we're really good at the output stuff.
I knew you weren't designing the system with the flaw there, Tom. Go ahead, please.
So the outcome stuff answers the question, are we really making a difference for these families that are taking out loans? And so before every loan is distributed, we have we have them fill out a survey, and we call it our Progress Out of Poverty Survey. This was designed by some students that I had working with me before I retired. And so it asks things about how many meals did they have during the last week? When was the last time that they had meat in a meal?
Wow.
What is the roof made out of? How many pots and pans do they have?
Mm-hmm.
How many days were their kids in school? What about health outcomes? And so, you know, as an individual takes out a first loan, pays that loan back, takes out a second loan, pays that loan back. So now we've got two surveys, because before each of those loans, they filled out a survey. They take out a third loan, pay that loan back. We've got a third survey. So we can track changes over time. And amazingly, it is consistent from country to country. People are eating more meals once they have taken out a loan. More
Wow.
of those meals include a source of protein, generally meat. Their kids are in school more often, and they have better health outcomes. And so we can confidently say that, yes, we are not putting loan recipients on a hamster wheel where they simply take out a loan, do some work, pay back that loan, take out another loan, and it's like busy work. No, this is actually making a difference in the quality of life of the family, that they're eating better, their kids are getting a better education, health outcomes are better. So we answer the common criticism of microfinance that it really doesn't make a difference. It's just a way to generate, sort of economic activity without making a difference in the lives of the loan recipients.
That's amazing. And it seems like this would be obviously it helps, but it'd be like it's self-sustaining. So it's like way different than something like international aid or something else.
Correct.
Like you're empowering. It's completely different, right?
Correct. Because, as we haven't even talked about this, but you figured it out, all of that money that's paid back enters a revolving loan fund, is loaned out again, paid back, loaned out again. So we get a $100 donation from somebody. That $100 can circulate, for years and years and help, dozens of people, take steps to, sort of lift themselves out of poverty.
Yeah, that's amazing. And looking at the implications of how something like that, how do you scale something like this? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it's one that we're constantly struggling with, because
every business is out there. Don't worry, whether it was microfinance or otherwise, I probably would have asked you unless it was a SaaS product, and they're like, "Well, we do this." I'm like, "Okay, well, how do you scale this? Though this is such an interesting idea."
So we have to tie into the existing community, because as we get to the third round and the fourth round loans, those loans are getting pretty big, and we can't
what
raise
does that, mean?
That kind
it's
of
pretty
money.
Big. Like, what does that mean?
So $800 for a loan, and so you've got a group of six people, all of a sudden you're talking almost $5,000 for the group. And so we want to make sure they get tied into the existing financial system, banking system, whether it's a credit union, whatever. And so for the first three or four rounds of the loans, we're essentially giving them a credit history. They don't have one, right? And they have no collateral, which was kind of one of the ideas with microfinance. So now they can go to the existing banking system and say, I've successfully taken out three loans or four loans, paid them back. Here's how my business has grown. I've added some employees. We've expanded our lines. Now I am deserving of a loan that, would be available to a business in the country. So that's been our answer. So how do we scale this on the high end? Our role is really sort of building that credit history for individuals. We're going to get them started. Nobody's making loans to them, other than us in each of the communities that we're in. And we're giving them the chance to take responsibility for their lives, as opposed to be dependent on the government, nonprofits, aid organizations to take care of them. And we think it really makes a difference in sort of the dignity that people have, the confidence that people have, and sort of the future, of what kids think is the way that the world works and the role that they can play.
Is this considered a financial institution, by the way, before I say
we
that?
We are not. We are not.
Okay.
We decided when we organized, we decided not to be regulated by the SEC. We incorporated as a nonprofit. And so we operate by a different set of rules.
Yep.
But
yep.
We are not holding anybody's money with the expectation that they're going to get it back. And so the SEC doesn't get involved, and it makes our lives so much easier.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense then, because my next question was going to be, if this was, then you're also getting rid of your best clients as those get bigger. But the goal here isn't to keep them correct me if I'm off on the statement, but the goal isn't to keep them, you know, within your system of microfinance. It's kind of to help them and to grow them. So you're almost
correct.
Like they're, you know, you're almost like their angel investor, if you will, to use some US terms, right?
Yeah,
and the aim is to get them, you know, onto that next level or that next round in this case, which may be traditional banking.
Yep, exactly. I mean, and the angel investor analogy, I think, is perfect for this.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's also interesting, too, to see, like, what happens when you know, do any of these default? Like, is there another side of the story?
So there is. I mean, it's not a very high, I mean, I think we're at a 2% or a 3% default rate over
wow.
the life of the program. So 14
That's
years.
That's amazing. Over 15 years? Over 14,
yeah.
15 years?
14 years.
2%.
Yeah. So
is it, Tom, I got to say this one. I can't help myself. Is it because we're loaning it only to responsible women? What?
Big difference. Yep. Yeah, so we can talk about the difference between what women do with money that they make and what men do, but that would take us in a whole different direction.
We're not doing that. But the two,
yeah.
So the 2% though, do you attribute that to the original model? Well, partly, or like what? How
yeah.
does how, when you're or when you're is that what it, the big deal is?
It is. It's the model, and it's also the partners that we're working with. I mean, there is a lot of hand holding. There's a lot of interaction on a day to day basis with borrowers. Helping them make pricing decisions, helping them manage inventory, helping them, you know, just learn how to run a business. And the partners that we're working with they're trying to further economic development in these communities. We've just given them another tool that they can add. And they've been very willing partners with us. That, I mean, the benefits are obvious to them as they've worked with us.
Mm. It's amazing. Well, Tom, that being said, it's been great having you on the show. I mean, I learned a lot. I'm sure my audience did as well. If somebody wants to learn more or to get involved, how do they connect?
So we're always looking for people to get involved in whatever way that they can. Our website is probably the best, and it's just wisconsinmicrofinance.com, Wisconsin Microfinance being all one word. There's opportunities to volunteer. There's opportunities to donate, certainly. There's opportunities to put us in contact with other groups that we could talk with.
Mm.
So we welcome whatever kind of assistance somebody would be interested in providing. And, you know, again, I'm happy to talk with anyone just to, you know, provide some additional information as they think about, well, who else could I introduce Tom to?
Yeah. It's great. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over and check out the website. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission. You know, why do they do what they do? What makes them tick? And if that's the type of content that sounds interesting or exciting, you hit that subscribe button. I don't know what you're waiting for. There's a daily show. We're releasing episodes every day, and you don't want to miss any. So hit that subscribe button. And if you're a long-term listener, don't forget, leave us a review. We sure do appreciate it. Tom, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Adam, thank you so much for the opportunity.